To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here. I do hope you hit that subscribe button. If you're not already, you're going to get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. Of course, you can grab us at Spotify, at Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give the series a rating and a review wherever you're listening from. We've had some great guests dropping by. We just spoke with Abe Sylvia. Abe is the showrunner and writer behind Palm Royale with Kristen Wiig on Apple TV+. Pearson Fodet was here. You've seen him in A Merry Little Xmas, The Wrong Paris. He's going to be in The Last Mrs. Parrish, the new Robert Zemeckis movie with J-Lo next year. We talked about that as well. Audrey Nuna was here. She is one of the voices on K-pop Demon Hunters. Penelope Ann Miller and Erica Christensen talked about the movie After All. Florence Welch, lead singer of Florence and the Machine, has a new album called Everybody Scream. Famke Janssen from X-Men, from James Bond, she's in a new Netflix show called Amsterdam Empire. We also hung out with the Kaiser Chiefs and Teenage Fan Club, Moby, MJ Rodriguez, and Ron Funches to talk about Loot on Apple TV, Broken Social Scene, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Ian Astbury of The Cult. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, we are talking with two incredible actresses, Hollywood legends, Felicity Jones and Carrie Condon. Felicity, of course, The Theory of Everything, The Brutalist, Inferno, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And Carrie Condon, you've seen her lately in F1, The Banshees of Inisherin. She was in Better Call Saul. She is the voice of Friday on the Avengers film series. Together, they star alongside Joel Edgerton in the adaptation of Dennis Johnson's novella called Train Dreams that's out now on Netflix. It is an incredible movie, just beautiful. And we're going to talk about the dreamlike adaptation that they've given it. In fact, Felicity and Carrie will get into how the movie's surreal memory drift style even changed the way they approach the work. We'll talk about the balance between tight scripting and spontaneous moments and what it was like shooting in the Pacific Northwest with Joel. Felicity's also going to dig into learning unexpected frontier skills, like shooting a rifle and skinning a goat. While Carrie will talk about bonding with director Clint Bentley over horses and the film's quiet emotional power, we'll also touch on Bryce Dessner's gorgeous score, Nick Cave's closing song, and why stories like this still matter in the increasingly cutthroat film world. All that and more, we are talking Train Dreams, one of my favorite movies of the entire year. It's Kyle Meredith with Felicity Jones and Carrie Condon.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to meet you both and to congratulate you on just one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen in my life.
Wow. Oh, amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, that's not hyperbole, I guess. I got it and went, it was like the last thing I watched before I went to bed. And then I woke up the next morning and immediately watched it again. It's just an incredible.
Great.
It's such an interesting type of storytelling. I was trying to tell someone, explain it to someone. I think my reference, as I said, it's sort of like this surreal type of all the pretty horses and this character-driven big fish put together. And just, a bit of a magical way to tell it. Does the type of storytelling affect the job? Like, this doesn't feel like a hit your mark, say your line kind of a movie.
No, I think the film, it needed spontaneity, and it needed, I would imagine you'd want the actors to be kind of relaxed and spontaneous, and because you're sort of trying to capture life. So everything, I mean, it felt everything was to the purpose of making it as easy for us as possible. As minimum people on set. It was usually just Clint and Adolfo and the actors. So everything was, as you say, was in the service of helping the performances.
Are you all the type of actors like when you get, because you're talking a little bit about that the looseness and the ability to improv, like you see the holes in a scene, right? Is that excitement or anxiety? Because I know some people like they want to know what to do every time, but when we're seeing these scenes that are very much just life lived, like I don't know what it was like, but it looks like the direction would be like just bop around the kitchen for a few minutes, and do your thing.
Well, that'll be more you because part of me was like, there wasn't holes in any of the scenes. It was so well written. It was perfect, the script actually. It was pretty close to perfect. So I can't speak for me about that improv sort of thing. That would be more maybe you and the baby and stuff, but the scenes were pretty well written.
They were pretty tight. Anything with dialogue, the improvisation sort of came from just getting some of those extra domestic moments and more of a texture of their family life. But yeah, I mean, sometimes it is literally like go and do something over there in the grass. So there was a lot of chat about chickens. We kept going and feed. I kept feeding chickens, and then there was like a little vegetable patch. I don't know if that made it in the film, and we did some digging in the vegetable patch and watering, but those little moments were very much dependent on the light. And if there was really beautiful light and the sun's going down, then Clint and Adolfo would go, "Quick, guys, go! Let's just get something." And then, they could use that in the edit and find a moment for it if it was right.
I can't imagine acting with chickens. I've grown up around chickens on farms, and things are nuts.
They do their own thing, yeah. They're very, very independent.
They're very in a bit. Well, then, Carrie, you're talking about that, how tight the script is. So, like, then how important is the source material? Because this all comes from a book. This is a book that a lot of people hold very dear to them. This is some people's all-time favorite book, Like for you, like how important is that source material, if at all?
Yeah, and sometimes I do think, with some books, you're like, oh, don't make it into a movie. It's per don't like it's just is a book. And Clint kind of feels the same about that. We spoke about that, about not every book should be a movie. But this script felt totally perfect as a script, but also then it was kind of shot more in ways of like memories. Like it's flickers of things that you see. And they spoke about the edit in one of the Q&As, and the editor was talking about the pacing of it. It was to feel like breathing. So there was loads of like other art forms that made this movie the way it is. Other skills that added to it on top of the script that made this movie that you wouldn't get in the book. Like the music in this movie is so beautiful and adds another layer to it. So all these things make it its own thing, separate to the book, the novella.
Yeah, Bryce's De Bryce's Bryce Dessner's score. It's I it hit me the second time I was watching it that it's nearly always there. Like there's very few times when it's not, and just how that drives the movie forward, even when it could be sitting still, I guess. Just to echo what you said. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Felicity Jones and Carrie Condon.
You know, and Carrie, because I've also heard you say, like, you just really wanted to be in this movie. And I think I hear that line sometimes, you know, like, you really want to be in a movie. But how often does that really work out where you can be like, anything, just put me somewhere. I'll do coffee. You know, it's, you know.
It works. Luckily, it worked out in terms of, like, scheduling. You know, obviously, that's an issue, you know, but and then just this part was so well written, my part, and it was like, I loved that it was that she didn't have a romance with Robert, and I loved that it was kind of, that's what it was. It was just a small part. I don't know. I just never want to stop doing small parts in great
things. Yeah. Yeah, because the story, when the story is really good and the filmmaker is really good, then you want to be a part of it in some way.
Well, even when you think about what, you know, how cutthroat the environment is right now with movie making, the fact that you can still put, I don't want to call it a little movie, it feels like an indie movie, you know, in a lot of ways. And I'm thinking, like, what's the line? It's impossible to make a movie, right? It's impossible to get a movie done. The fact that these can still exist, I mean, I don't know. I guess it says a lot about, you know, the belief, you know.
Yeah, I think you have to really care about the story that you're telling. As you say, you know, there can be a lot of obstacles. So you really feel that the stories that get out there now are really, someone somewhere really wants to tell them.
I was also thinking about the things you can learn off of movies, the new tools you get. Because Felicity, I you know, there's a moment where you're with a rifle, you know, and I'm guessing deer hunting. Like, how are you with the rifle? Had you done that before?
Well, I'd done it in a film years ago called True Story. So I'd had a little bit of experience, but I actually did need to remind myself again. So there was an amazing props guy on the film, and he was actually ex-military. And I just, whenever I had any time off, I'd just go to the prop store and I would just keep practicing and practicing and practicing it. Because with things like that, like little prop things, I just have to keep doing it whenever I have a moment, so that when I'm actually doing it on camera, you know, you don't want to be like trying to pick it up, but it just would look so bad. So I just have to make it second nature so it becomes a little bit of a tick until I just get it completely smooth.
You think you'd be decent in the actual, like if you go deer hunting? Could you?
I don't know. I haven't put it to test yet. So, you know,
I'd be like, no, don't shoot that place. It would be berries.
No, exactly.
Pocahontas.
Exactly.
But wait, didn't I read, and I hope this is true and untrue at the same time, that you learned to skin a goat, though?
Yes, that is true. Yes. It was, you know, it was about, I don't know, I just try and do as much as possible in to make it all seem as, you know, if I read something in a scene that the character is doing, then I think, well, I should kind of learn how to do that myself, and then I'll hopefully make it look convincing.
How was that experience specifically?
Yeah, I mean, again, something, you know, I quite like a challenge, so quite like doing things I've never done before. So it was cool, yeah, and interesting for Gladys in building her. In building her character.
And Carrie, I know you've grown up around horses. So I feel like, because that's one of the things, right? If the director says, can you ride horses? You say yes, except you can ride horses. You grew up around horses.
Yeah, like, but I didn't need to ride any in this movie. But I'm on a little cart with Joel, but Joel was doing more work than me for that.
You didn't have to mess with it. I'm in Louisville. You know, home of the Kentucky Derby. I've grown up around those horses too. I think I've been on a horse maybe twice in my entire life. But like, what luck? Because did I read right? Also, like, this was right close to your where you live, your farm and home.
Yes, yeah. I have a farm in the Pacific Northwest, and that's where we shot the movie in Washington. And that was another draw for me. The trees up there are so beautiful. Nature there is beautiful, and yeah, I just felt like it was meant to be.
Yeah. Are you still involved with horses in the same way?
Yeah, I have. I have horses on my farm. Yeah, I pretend I'm a jockey when I'm not working, basically.
So nice.
Have you ever come down around this area?
I went to a school, Chris McCarron has a school to learn how to be a jockey, and I went there for like a month to learn how to be a jockey. And Clint, our director, his first movie is called Jockey, and it's all about like a jockey. And his dad in real life was a jockey, so I bonded with him over that, over those. But it was more the first scene I did with Joel in the movie we did back in 2003. What me and Joel were on horses on in that first scene, and then on our first scene on this movie, we're
Oh, that's
I know
so funny,
it was
isn't
kind of
it?
beautiful,
Yeah.
full circle.
Things that keep coming around and around and around. I
Yeah.
mean, I couldn't help but laughing also. It's like the small world. Like you're all three got the Star Wars credit also at some point.
Ah.
Nothing that you've talked about.
Obviously not, because it just dawned on me. I was like, oh.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I don't know why you would, but at the same time, I'm sure there's a whole lot of nerds out there going, huh? Huh? What's the conversations like when
Yeah,
it's open to
we're
them?
cutthroat when we've done a job that
Yeah, I've
we move
done
on to the next.
You have
We're
to.
not sentimental. I know you do. You do.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Felicity Jones and Carrie Condon. I think both of you all, I don't know the timeline of everything, but you know, with the releases, it looks like you were both coming off of, you know, some very big movies and jobs with F1 and The Brutalist and everything. Like, does that stuff, do you carry it over between movies like that? Do you ever take jobs as sort of a breather after something else?
Like a palate cleanser.
Yeah, but yeah.
No, that would seem lazy,
No,
right?
I think the palate cleansing has got to be probably not working and
Yes,
doing something
being at
else, like
home.
learning how to be a jockey or what, you
Yeah,
know.
just doing nothing.
Yeah, I think when you're hopefully, you know, it can't always be like that, but hopefully you're doing something because you really want to be doing it, and it's interesting to you.
Well, I do want to ask one specific, very specific thing, and I'm going to, for the future people watching and listening to this, say, you know, possible little spoilery just to give people the opportunity here. But towards the end of the movie, Joel's character, you know, he starts hearing Felicity, your character, in the wind and everything, and it's a funny thing to play around with. Like, just your opinion, do you think he's imagining it, or do you think she's an actual ghost?
I would have thought that he's probably imagining it. I think it's, yeah, I think it's you know that thing that, you know, when people die, they don't they their physical form dies, but they sort of live in the people that remember them. So they're weirdly still alive in your mind. It's I think it's kind of that idea that they live on in you. And she is always going to be a part of him, and that's who he is.
Yeah, and she's haunting. So, but if she's a ghost, then it's a totally different genre.
It could be. I find that there's it's romantic, you know, that she would come out like this. I'm going to show you how it happened. You know, because there's that scene where he kind of
Oh,
imagines it, you know.
yes.
Like then you don't have to, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be curious anymore.
Yeah, it was beautiful in the
It's
speech.
almost like he, but there was something really moving in doing that. Just the idea that someone had, you know, when someone has died in your life, that you would get a moment to see them again, and how nice that would be.
Yeah, even if it is your
Yeah,
imagination.
yeah.
It's such a beautiful movie. I swear it's one of my favorites. Congratulations to you both. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks
Thank
so
you.
much.
My thanks to Felicity and Carrie. Train Dreams, you can watch now on Netflix. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening or watching from now. After all that, you can head over to WFPK.org.
That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music and bonus interviews and lots of music news. One of my recent shows features some classics and favorites from the Rolling Stones, Mott the Hoople, Courtney Barnett, Jimmy Eat World, Martha and the Muffins, Chris Isaak, Sunvolt, Patti Griffin, Betty LaVette, Joy Crooks, My Morning Jacket, Social Distortion, Amanda Shires, Mumford & Sons, and my interviews with Jeff Tweedy of Wilco, Neil Finn of Crowded House, and Roseanne Cash. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.